Good morning for Wednesday, June 1st, 2011. Audible presents the New York Times Audio Digest. Here's what's making news on the front page today. Rebuilding lifts economy after disasters. Pressing Obama, House bars rise for debt ceiling and censor critics, military warns Egypt's media. In today's national headlines, panel warns of cancer risk from cell phones. Rise of Obama and Tea Party offer opening to read, and studies are a blow to those with syndrome of fatigue. There will be more business stories along with more national and world news, a roundup from the sports page, and New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd. Now, as selected by the editors of the New York Times, here are the stories on today's front page. The top story is titled Rebuilding Lifts Economy After Disasters, reported by Michael Cooper. The deadly tornadoes and widespread flooding that have left a trail of death and destruction throughout the South and the Midwest have also disrupted dozens of local economies just as the unsteady recovery seemed to be finally finding a foothold. But a new phase is slowly beginning in some hard-hit areas. Reconstruction, which past disasters show is typically accompanied by a burst of new and different economic activity. There is no silver lining to a funnel cloud, as anyone who survived the tornadoes can attest, but reconstruction can help rebuild local economies as well as neighborhoods. More than a tenth of the businesses in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, were badly damaged or destroyed in April when a tornado swept across a 5.9-mile stretch of the city, and nearly 6,000 Alabamians have filed storm-related claims for unemployment benefits. An even deadlier tornado laid waste to roughly a quarter of the businesses in Joplin, Missouri, on May 22nd, wiping out some of the big-box stores the city relies on heavily for sales tax receipts. The flooding Mississippi River closed all 9 riverboat casinos in Tunica, Mississippi, this spring, leaving 4,600 hotel rooms empty for weeks. But there are stirrings of economic activity. Home Depot, whose store in Joplin was destroyed, began selling supplies from a parking lot there on Tuesday as it prepared to open a temporary store. Tamco Building Products was doubly hit. Its plant in Tuscaloosa had to halt production for weeks after the April 27th tornado destroyed a warehouse, blew out windows, and knocked out power. Then in May, disaster struck closer to home. Tamco's headquarters are in Joplin, where the company was founded in 1944. The tornado that tore through Joplin, one of the deadliest on record, left Tamco's facilities undamaged but destroyed the homes of roughly 20 of its employees. But as much as it was buffeted by the storms, Tamco is well positioned to prosper once reconstruction fully kicks in. Its main product, roofing shingles, is always in demand after a tornado. No one would suggest that disasters are a desirable form of economic stimulus, but economists who have studied the impact of floods, tornadoes, and hurricanes have found that after the initial anguish and disruptions, periods of increased economic activity frequently follow as insurance money and disaster relief flow in to jumpstart rebuilding. Terry Waters, executive director of the West Alabama Chamber of Commerce, said the Tuscaloosa tornado killed 41 people and destroyed or significantly damaged about 650 businesses that employ 7,200 workers. But Waters said he was proud of the city's resiliency. "Every day when I drive out," he said, "I see more and more debris that's been removed, front-end loaders on private property scooping up debris and hauling it off." The second front-page story is titled Pressing Obama, House Bars Rise for Debt Ceiling. The House on Tuesday overwhelmingly rejected a measure to increase the government's debt limit on a vote staged by Republican leaders to pressure President Obama to agree to deep spending cuts. The measure, defeated on a 318-97 vote, was brought up by Republicans to show that there was little support in the House for raising the $14.3 trillion debt ceiling without concrete steps to rein in chronic budget deficits. It followed several acts of odd political theater on the House floor. Republicans brought up the measure and then urged its defeat, while Democrats, who not long ago were seeking just such a vote to raise the debt ceiling without attaching spending cuts, assailed Republicans for bringing it up, saying its certain defeat might unnerve the financial markets. Just in case, Republican leaders scheduled the vote after the stock markets close and in the preceding days had called Wall Street executives to assure them that the vote was just for show, to make the point to Obama that he would have to make concessions in budget negotiations if any debt limit increase is to pass Congress. Voting against the measure were 236 Republicans and 82 Democrats. No Republicans voted in favor. The showdown over the issue is likely to continue well into the summer, with consequences for both parties and potentially for the economy and Wall Street, where the bond market in particular is watching the partisan standoff closely. Yet, for all the talk of crisis, should Congress fail to raise the debt ceiling by August 2nd, when the Treasury Department says it will run out of room to meet all the government's obligations without further borrowing, the financial markets are likely to yawn at Tuesday's proceedings. Wall Street is in on the joke, said Bruce Jostin, Executive Vice President of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Next on the front page, David D. Kirkpatrick.